This morning, we conclude our psalm series that has carried us through the summer months. We're going to be looking at Psalm 84 in a moment. But first, I want to offer a few words of introduction. In the world of the psalmist, the temple in Jerusalem was the one place where God could be found. The temple was considered to be the meeting place between heaven and earth, the space in which people who came could expect an encounter with God. Thus, pilgrimage or journey to the temple was a common practice among the faithful. Psalm 84 describes the experience of such a journey, which is both a physical journey and a spiritual quest. The psalm itself is a pilgrimage of mind and heart that moves us from longing for God to anticipation about what the experience of arriving in God's presence will be like, to a description of the journey itself, and finally to a prayer that expresses joy and gratitude of both journey and arrival. I invite you to listen for these movements within the psalm, as we also listen for God's word to us today. I'm reading this morning from the Common English Bible so that we can hear this psalm with some fresh words. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord of heavenly forces. My very being longs, even yearns, for the Lord's courtyards. My heart and my body will rejoice out loud to God. Yes, the sparrow too has found a home there. The swallow has found herself a nest where she can lay her eggs beside your altars. Lord of heavenly forces, my King, my God. Those who live in your house are truly happy. They praise you constantly. Those who put their strength in you are truly happy. Pilgrimage is in their hearts. As they pass through the Baca Valley, they make it a spring of water. Yes, the early rain covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength until they see the supreme God in Zion. Lord God of heavenly forces, hear my prayer. Listen closely, Jacob's God. Look at our shield, God. Pay close attention to the face of your anointed one. Better is a single day in your courtyards than a thousand days anywhere else. I would prefer to stand outside the entrance of my God's house than live comfortably in the tents of the wicked. The Lord is a sun and shield. God is favor and glory. The Lord gives, doesn't withhold, good things to those who walk with integrity. Lord of heavenly forces, those who trust in you are truly happy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, our souls long for the hope and home we find in you. Meet us now in the pilgrimage of proclamation. As we have already sung, grant that in the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, we may hear your good news and experience your great love. In Jesus Christ, the living word. Amen. In her book, Small Wonder, Barbara Kingsolver describes the day she observed a hummingbird building her nest outside her kitchen window. Barbara was at the kitchen sink doing dishes when her eye caught a flicker of motion outside. There she was, Barbara writes, hovering uncertainly. In the tip of her beak, she held a wisp of wadded spider web, so tiny I wasn't even sure it was there. she carefully smooched it onto the branch, vanished, and in less than a minute she was back with another tiny white tuft that she stuck on top of the first. For more than an hour, she returned again and again, increasingly confident of her mission, building up by infinitesimal degrees a whitish lump on the branch. Barbara stayed at her post, washing everything she could find, while the bird did her own housework out there. When the lump had grown big enough, she stopped gathering and sat down on her little tuffet, waggling her wings and tiny rounded underbelly to shape the blob into a cup that would easily have fit inside Barbara's cupped hand. The hummingbird hovered to inspect her work and then dashed off and returned with fine filaments of shredded bark, which she wove into the webbing along with some dry leaflets and a slap dab or two of lichen pressed on the outside for curb appeal. When she had made all of this a perfect symmetrical cup, she did the most surprising thing of all. She sat on her nest, stretched out her tongue, and extended it the incredible length of licking her new nest from bottom to rim all the way around. And then, suddenly, her busy urgency vanished, and she settled in for the long stillness of laying and incubation. Barbara marveled at the genetic code built into the hummingbird's brain that allowed her to know exactly what to do and how to make a nest for herself and the eggs she would lay, the young she would raise. So, too, the psalmist writes as one who marvels at the genetic triggers hardwired into those who seem to know where to go and what to do to dwell in God's presence. The psalmist seems to write about the experience of pilgrimage toward God as one who is outside looking in. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, he writes. But what about me? He seems to whisper between the lines. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. They go from strength to strength, but not me, he seems to suggest. The psalmist seems to be looking on as others make the journey, imagining what it would be like to arrive in a place of loveliness where a fresh experience of God releases a deep sigh of contentment, where his soul finds peace and he has what he needs and his heart is open to those who are also there. A place he would never want to leave, because that place, that feeling, brings him to life. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere, he exclaims. So as you reflect on the places you've been, which ones shine with the loveliness of God? As you remember experiences you've had, which moments have you wished would never end? The experience of hope and home with God in the company of others evokes joy and deep gratitude and expressions of praise, and we marvel at the ways in which our DNA wires us to pursue a deep and abiding connection with God. In his book, We Make the Road by Walking, Brian McLaren describes our hardwired pursuit in this way. What we all want, really, is pretty simple. We want to be alive. We want to feel alive, not just to exist, but to thrive, to live out loud, to walk tall, to breathe free. We want to be less lonely, less exhausted, less conflicted or afraid, more awake, more grateful, more energized and purposeful. We capture this kind of mindful, overbrimming life in terms like well-being, shalom, blessedness, wholeness, harmony, life to the full, and aliveness. The quest for aliveness explains so much of what we do, McLaren writes. It's why readers read and travelers travel. It's why lovers love and thinkers think, why dancers dance and moviegoers watch. In the quest for aliveness, chefs cook, foodies eat, farmers till, drummers riff, flycasters cast, runners run, and photographers shoot. And this quest for aliveness, writes McLaren, is the best thing about religion. It is what we are hoping for when we pray. It's why we gather, celebrate, eat, practice, sing, and contemplate. It's what we mean when we say, I'm spiritual. We mean we're on that journey that seeks aliveness in God. I'm seeking that one day in your courts that's better than thousands elsewhere. Yet it's also true that the obstacles, resistances, and fears that come up in our lives can block this experience of aliveness so that we, like the psalmist, feel as if we are on the outside looking in. We can be too distracted or preoccupied to be aware of the spirit that brings us to life. Too focused on the destination, that one lovely place, that single outcome we believe is right, that quintessentially satisfying experience, that ultimate completion of our lives, that we live in a perpetual state of longing, anticipating, hoping, outside in. And as someone has said, seeking without finding is merely suffering. The Way is a movie about the pilgrimage to El Camino de Santiago in Spain. This ancient 500-mile route stretches from France through Spain and has been walked by pilgrims for centuries. The movie tells the story of a father and his son Daniel. Like many fathers, this one has ideas about the kind of life he wants for his son. And when Daniel leaves this life behind to go walk the Camino, Dad doesn't like it. Daniel tries to get his father to go along, but Dad dismisses the whole idea as frivolous, a waste of time and a waste of a life. Tragically, Daniel is killed on the very first day of his pilgrimage when a severe storm moves into the Alps. Now the father must come to terms with his grief and with his regrets. When he flies to France to retrieve the cremated remains of his son, the father suddenly realizes he must walk the Camino on Daniel's behalf. Strapping the box of ashes onto his backpack, he begins the long walk that takes most pilgrims a month to complete. Along the way, he stops to scatter a handful of ashes at a time. As he goes, he also encounters other pilgrims, strangers with stories, regrets, and dreams of their own. There is sadness, laughter, hospitality, and threats to their well-being and safety. But as they walk, you can see them slowly coming to life again. As they walk, slowly they shed pieces of the past. As they walk, slowly they open up to one another and become strength and hope and light to one another. For the Father, El Camino de Santiago is the way where a miracle happens. He finally gets what drew Daniel to the Camino in the first place. Finally, in his mind's eye, he sees Daniel there with fellow travelers. He understands the meaning and fulfillment that would come from walking this way, no longer looking from the outside in. It is as if he gets some small part of his son back, as if in death they have become pilgrims walking the way that leads to life and to love together. It is powerful, poignant, and awe-inspiring when fellow pilgrims share an experience of the holy that awakens them, body, mind, and spirit, to the healing, peace, and blessedness of God. And the journey never ends. So this morning's psalm begs the question, how do you answer the longing for God that is hardwired in you? With whom do we honor the gravitational pull that brings us to life in Christ? I'd like us to consider this fall as a season of pilgrimage for Crossroadians, and you don't have to strap on a backpack or travel to a distant place. God's lovely dwelling places are everywhere, beneath our feet and before our eyes. But we do have to be intentional about it. We do have to make it our purpose to live each day as a pilgrimage of heart and mind and spirit that answers our soul's longing for God. So come to the wellspring in worship this fall and drink deeply of God's love for you and for the whole world. Between Sundays, carve out time to connect with fellow traveling companions on this way, whether in learning, relationship building, or service. Make yourselves available to each other. In all the places you go, and especially in the place you call home, create for yourself and for those who live with you openings for gratitude, praise, and joy, speed bumps that slow you down in the middle of a busy day to pause and awaken to the ordinary ways God shows up. Today, as we move from this sanctuary into the festival activities that have been prepared for us, may it be a new beginning for deepened lives in God, authentic relationships with each other, and new experiences that take us where we never thought we would go. Along the journey of El Camino de Santiago, a certain phrase is exchanged among travelers, Buen Camino. Literally, it means a good path, but its deeper meaning has to do with wellness on the way of life that walks with God, in the quest for aliveness found in Jesus Christ. So may it be for us as we come and go from this dwelling place. Buen Camino. Amen.